everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 147 for the 8th of October, 2011. I am David McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Yep, it's definitely a Saturday morning. I'm definitely awake.
I'm
walking everyone through my cognitive process. It's like I'm aware, I'm awake, and I know I'm in studio. That's about as far as I got so far.
Fair enough. We're also joined by the ever chipper, Richard Gray.
Holy shit. Richard's here.
Out of hell with the boat.
What are you? You've been up since like the crack of dawn because you have a whiteboard.
Yeah, I have a whiteboard, people.
A whiteboard. Keep trying.
I found myself in a. I went into a $2 shop. What else are you going to buy?
Oh, you went and bought a whiteboard.
We should explain the whiteboard. Richard has decided to schedule his life.
Yep.
And so everything is on the whiteboard. If it's not on the whiteboard, it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen at all. In fact, I've got a big thing chunked out for the next two Saturdays podcast.
Oh, very good. Only the next two. After that, we're just not it anymore.
I only plan 2 weeks at a time.
Okay, fair enough. So welcome to Geek Actually, everybody. This is the show about all that Greek crap that only we care about. Basically, we took the old tech show, the old after show, we smooshed them together, and we come up with this show. However, with all that being said, this is actually a slightly different Geek Actually this week, because we're kind of foregoing a lot of our usual sections, because we only really, I mean, let's face it, like they've done in the past, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but Apple has sucked all the oxygen out of the room again, completely. We are in a complete news vacuum because of two major events this week. So we will talk about the new iPhones, but before we talk about that, I think we really need to talk about something that is kind of sad, and I want to lead this off. But before I mention what it is, because you all know what it is already, remember you can watch us live here every Saturday, and I forgot to tweet. You should tweet.
Because, I tweeted.
Oh, good.
It's done.
You can watch us record the show every Saturday starting at 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time again, which is UTC plus 11, geekactually.com/live. Now, ex-CEO, he did resign a few weeks back.
Yeah,
so Apple ex-CEO Steve Jobs passed away at the age of 56 this week, which is very, 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 very sad. And I'm heartbroken. Let me explain. This is a very weird thing for me because, I mean, let's face it, he is a public figure. He is a celebrity and all that sort of stuff. And I did not know the man. I had no personal contact with this person in any way, shape, or form. And yet his death affected me incredibly profoundly. I got an email from our very good friend Tristan. I want to thank Tristan for letting me know, because I was actually doing stuff for film actually at the time. I was actually putting up a post, and I got this email saying, I suppose you've already heard this, but you know, isn't it sad that Steve Jobs died? And I just went, pardon? It's like came out of the blue, and I immediately went and looked it up, and sure enough, Steve Jobs had passed. And I found myself getting overwhelmingly sad. And it's a really strange sensation. I've never felt that. And it started to make me think, though, is this what people who were like massive Michael Jackson fans or something like that felt when Michael Jackson passed? You know, when there was all those days of mourning and stuff like that. I didn't realize that this man had affected me in such a way. But I guess when you think about it, he is arguably the most important person in modern technology. Whether you like, and this is not an Apple versus PC debate here at this point. This is just about him and about the things that he has achieved. And to all of us people in technology, he is a remarkably important person. What were your thoughts when you found out? Josh?
Well, I mean, like, we all know that I'm not the biggest of Apple fans. And it was an interesting experience because I found out at work. And, you know, it had already happened a couple of hours ago and so on and so forth. And I actually, funnily enough, was searching for something on one of the Mac computers. And, of course, being the fact that the Mac computers on the Mac table, they go to the Apple site first up. And, of course, I saw the dates and a picture of his face. And I immediately went, that's a terrible picture. I'm sorry. It was the first thing that came to mind. And interestingly enough, then the debate started at work because I was like, I didn't know. And everybody's like, we knew like 6 hours ago. And I'm like, well, that's because I live in a vacuum of news because I don't care about it. But when I found out, everybody turned to me and acted as though I didn't care. Like they were like, well, what the fuck would you care? You're a PC guy. And I went, this man advanced technology like very few people in the world have.
Agreed.
And he has brought us things that other people couldn't have even dreamed of. And this man was a complete innovator. I don't agree with some of the ways that their technology works or their company works, but in no way am I saying that this isn't worth at least everybody paying their respects.
Mm-hmm.
Past that, I don't care. But I believe the man deserves credit, and the man deserves his time in the limelight on his way out.
Yep.
And people should at least comment and spread the word that the man is dead, because people should remember this guy. This guy did a lot of things. And that's absolutely true. But at the same time, like, you know, people do die, and that's very sad. But yeah, no, and I'm not going to get sad when Bill Gates dies.
Well, either, I actually did consider that. I actually thought, how would I feel if Bill Gates died, or any of these other people from that same era? So I don't think it would have the same effect.
Mm.
Richard.
I think it's because Steve Jobs is such a visible face of the company in a way that Bill Gates has been, but not really. I mean, Steve Jobs is Apple, and he is Apple innovation as far as a lot of people are concerned. Again, we had similar conversations at work. I mean, there's a little quote that's been floating around the web. I'm not quite sure who this is originally attributable to, because it's turned up everywhere. There are three apples that define history and evolution. The first seduced Eve. The second fell on Newton. The third was offered to the world by Steve Jobs.
And then Newton. And then Jobs offered to Newton.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it was only 10 years ago that the first iPod dropped.
Yeah.
And this was something that was actually brought up the day before he died, or 2 days before he died, in the 4S launch.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned it. And I thought, wow, only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And this, and in that time, we've had the fact that the majority of people probably now buy their music from iTunes or use iTunes to manage their music.
But even if they don't use iTunes, this is...
Or even if they don't use an iPod, they use something similar to it.
That's right. I was about to say, this is the thing... Because the concept
of personal ownership in music has changed.
Up until iTunes, which is only about 8 years ago, everybody was ripping off music on the internet, MP3s were all bootlegged, blah, blah. iTunes came along and revolutionized digital music and legitimized digital music to the point where everybody else started online stores getting the deals. They all started to do legitimate MP3 or equivalent music. And we have to point at iTunes and say iTunes is what legitimized digital music, you know, and iTunes has got its detractors now. And a lot of people will say, you know, you should use Amazon or whatever it is you want to use as a digital download. If it wasn't for iTunes, the other companies wouldn't exist at this point.
And this is the thing. I mean, and Josh touched on it as well. No matter where your allegiances lie in the PC Mac war, if such a thing still even exists.
Oh, yeah. Follow the chat room.
Well, I know. It's the sort of area where he progressed technology so much that no matter what you use, it has been touched in some way by Apple and Apple's innovation. I think Barack Obama said in his address on the thing, and the fact that the president of the United States of America was compelled to actually make a public statement about the passing of a technology guru is indicative of how influential this person was. And he said, I think it's, and I can't, here it is, there may be no greater tribute to Steve's success than the fact that much of the world learned of his passing on a device that he invented. And to me, that caps it up.
Yeah.
You know, that me personally, 2-3 years ago, didn't own a mobile phone at all. Now I couldn't imagine going through my day without an iPhone or at least some sort of smartphone. And it's because of how sexy Apple made it look. I mean, really, let's face it.
I agree with you.
This stuff's been around. You know, he certainly didn't invent some of the things that Apple made successful, but Apple made it sexy and Apple made it popular. And it's half the reason, you know, I'm sitting here with a MacBook in front of me, with an iPhone in my pocket. I've got an iPad at home because of the way he and his company presented these products to the world to make them look as though something that was legitimately useful. And they have integrated into my life as a result of it.
So. Well, and, you know, the argument has always been that Steve Jobs and Apple, let's talk Apple for a minute. Apple brought home computing to, quote unquote, the rest of us. The idea was up until Apple came along, computing was a homebrew nerd fest where people were, like, you know, with their pocket protectors basically playing with computers. Steve Jobs had a vision to bring it to the household. And if there's actually argument to say that had it not been for the Apple I and the Apple II, Microsoft would probably never have really even got a foot in at this point. Because at that point, there's a famous thing that Wozniak talks about, which is he had a contract with Hewlett-Packard. And Hewlett-Packard at the time was making business machines and calculators and what have you. And he had a contract that said anything that he invented had to be offered to them first. And so he took the Apple One to them and basically said, we've got this idea to make a home computer, and of course I'm offering it to you. And they basically said, why would anybody want that?
Mm.
And they said, well, okay, cool, thank you. And they went off and did it themselves, you know? And so, I mean, Apple has been incredibly influential. And this is why I always, Josh and I have talked about this many times. It's important to know your history, to know where you've come from, to know where you're going. Mm. It's very easy for young people to jump on the PC Apple bandwagon now, you know, that whole fighting, the infighting and everything else, but to know where it actually came from. Apple was the mothership compared to Microsoft.
Mm.
It wasn't until Apple fell, Steve Jobs being fired and so forth, that Microsoft got their foothold in.
Mm.
And that is when Windows took off and Apple fell. Because Bill Gates was a master of basically saying, let's do it cheaper. Let's do it mass market. Let's just get it out there, put it on every machine. And of course, there was no Steve Jobs to fight back. And Apple sunk, right?
Mm.
And considering that in the 10 years that Steve Jobs has been back at Apple, 10 years... Is that right? We're talking 12 years, whatever it is he's been back at Apple. He took Apple from literally about 1% market share in America to 23% market share. And when you look at the iPhone as a handset, not as an operating system, but as a handset, it is the number one handset selling in the world as a phone. I mean, there's something to say. This he knows how to drive a company. And a lot can also be said about Tim Cook, who's taken him over. Tim Cook apparently is the business side of it. Tim Cook was the one who streamlined the product range and all that sort of stuff. Tim Cook is an interesting person to take over from Steve Jobs. He doesn't have the charisma.
And I was watching the address this morning again, to bone up on the specs of the iPhone 4S. And no, he doesn't have the charisma.
No.
And I think this is the really important thing that I was saying, that Steve Jobs was the company because... he was the charisma that people needed to buy into.
There was almost a sense of him being almost outside the company. Like he was almost like he was the innovator and he was the front man. Like he was the guy that would show up on stage, kind of almost devoid of all the background stuff and all the things that people would point at. And even people like me, when watching an address from Steve, would still listen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's like, even though I look at them and I'm like, I hate your company. I hate what you do. I hate this and stuff like that. Every time he gets on stage and talks about innovation, even I look at him and go, absolutely.
What do they call? They called it the Steve Jobs reality distortion field. He was amazing charisma.
Well, you want to know what? It's not, for me, it's not a distortion field. What it is to me is the fact that Steve Jobs, when he stood up there and he was telling the world about this device, all he cared about was the technology.
Yeah.
It was none of it was the company shit. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
The difference is when he got up there, he was just excited to tell you
about it.
Yeah,
and he would use catchphrases like boom and magic and everything because he was genuinely excited about his own. Yeah. He loved his product.
He's the geek that done good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to show you this. Now, you've probably already seen this, but just for our chat room who may not have seen it. Now, for the audio listeners, I will try and describe it. Unfortunately, it's gone. It's a Twitter thing, so it's kind of fed through the feed, but I managed to capture this. On the day of Steve Jobs' death, everybody was using hashtags, of course, to get an RIP Steve Jobs and, you know, all sorts of. This was somebody captured their Twitter because they said there is no better tribute. I think this actually came from Brian Brushwood. There is no better memorial than this, basically. This was what was on his computer. He typed hash Steve Jobs and it came up, no replacements found. How good is that?
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Now, I just thought I would also, I know we're a little bit Steve Jobs heavy here, but I got to tell you, I was profoundly affected by this death. So I'm going, and it's my show, so I'm going to harp on it. So
really, Dave?
It's cathartic for me, all right?
Just let him have it.
This was in 2005, Steve Jobs got up and gave a speech at Stanford University. It was a commencement speech for the students. Now, this is on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes. Now, it's 15 minutes long, so we're not going to play the whole thing here. I've cut out a two-minute chunk of it, though. This is a beautiful speech, and it is an amazing speech. He tells three stories, one of which is the fact that he never went to university, or he dropped out of university, and basically explaining why he thinks they should go on with university, but at the same time, don't become. Basically, what he's saying is, be a square peg in a round hole. Don't conform, right? But as the speech went on, his third story was about when he got diagnosed with cancer, which was a year earlier than this speech. Right. And have a listen to this. This is what Steve Jobs, for the audio listeners, you can hear this. For our video listeners, you can watch us. Our video watchers, you can watch this. Have a listen to these words very carefully, though, because you can really hear how he lives his life. So this is Steve Jobs at Stanford.
When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like, "If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right." It made an impression on me. And since then, for the past 33 years, I have looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. This was the closest I've been to facing death, and I hope it's the closest I get for a few more decades. Having lived through it, I can now say this to you with a bit more certainty than when death was a useful but purely intellectual concept. No one wants to die. Even people who want to go to heaven don't want to die to get there. And yet, death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it. And that is as it should be. Because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Right now, the new is you. But someday, not too long from now, you will gradually become the old and be cleared away. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary.
Truer words never spoken. Basically, what he's saying is just don't listen to the man, do it yourself, which is exactly what he did.
Can
you just turn your mic a little bit, Josh?
Yeah. It's interesting that you say it like that, because I mean, like, it is that it goes back to that, you know, very almost Japanese principle, which is that, you know, consider death every morning and, you know, all that sort of stuff, and it's very true to think that way. And it's like, I like that speech because it's not so much, you know, don't necessarily conform. Like, I mean, that's definitely one angle of it, but it's also just, you know, constantly be monitoring whether or not you're doing what you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And considering, you know, considering the fact that Apple is, you know, the kind of thing that is all about creativity and stuff like that, I mean, it's nice to see someone like that stand up on stage and kind of say those words, and especially when it was that close to the whole cancer thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, it was good that he came across like that and gave a speech which wasn't necessarily all about, you know, sort of welcome to, you know, university and go out and do your thing. It's like he was giving a speech to make them people, not make them students. You know,
yeah,
what I
mean? Yeah. I think it's fabulous, Richard.
Yeah, look, I got to admit, I've seen that a couple of times, and sitting here watching it again, I did actually start to get a little choked up, because it was for myself at a bit of a crossroads at the moment where I'm thinking, am I doing what I want to do? It is a reminder, and having considered death a lot in the last year, having lost two family members in the last year, I do actually feel as though I'm at a point where I need to do something for me and not for what I think I should
not
should
do
be
what
doing.
Is considered quote unquote right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You know, and I think he is an example of people like us who have a passion about something and got carried away with it. And, you know.
Yeah, and Freak has said in our chat room, I don't think I'll ever buy an Apple product. I'm not saying you should. And, no. You know, Apple products aren't going to be for everyone. What we're talking about here, though, is the impact of what him and his products had on the world.
You've got to look at it like, I mean, some people...
It's like, so not everybody likes Michael Jackson music, but you can't deny the impact that Michael Jackson had on the world of music.
Well, no, you know? And not only that, man. The other thing is people that are like, you know, fuck iPads and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But essentially, we have Android tablets available in the market, and that's only really there because of the iPad. And then on top of that, next year you're going to have the Windows 8 tablets. And it's like all of these things are sliding out because of the iPad. And you can't forget that. It's like even if you're against the technology is only there because it's a household thing now.
Yeah, yeah.
And absolutely. Until we get into a household, it doesn't advance. It just sits there stagnant, just like touch screens were when we first had them. It's like essentially we could say whatever we want about, you know, the direction of tablets. Tablets were dead until Steve jumped up and went, let's finish this design. We've got our iPhone out. Let's get this pad on the market now that we're the big thing and get this household made. And that's what he did. And because of that, computing will change. 5 years from now, when you look back, remember that this is where
also,
it started.
Also, let's talk about, I mean, very quickly, because we really probably should move on, but let's talk about very briefly about his vision. I mean, we talk about the man, we talk about the company. This is a man who got up in 1997. I almost put the clip on the board. I just couldn't find a juicy part of it. It's actually quite long. But if you actually go onto YouTube, you can find it. And it's a speech that he gave in 1997, just after he came back to Apple. And he's talking about network computing. And he's basically talking about the idea of having a high-speed network where if you make a file in one computer, it'll appear in your other five computers, and it's going to be synchronized across everything. And all I can think is, here he is, 12 years before iCloud, describing iCloud.
Yeah.
And it took him this amount of time, but he got there.
No, but and the other thing is, he's the kind of person that waits. He waits until the technology works.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, innovation doesn't have to come. Like, iPad was first. iPad was first. They were making the iPad. He saw the rubber band technique and went, we're making a phone. This is the way his mind works. It's like, what can we do right now that we can make work? And this is the one thing that I do respect about Apple's technology thing. It's like, people are like, it's closed off, it's quartered, and I get that, and I don't like that personally, but at the same time, they do that for quality. And that's the thing. It's like, when they drop a product, you know that that product hasn't come out without thought.
Calvin said, I think it's unfair, though, that people say that tech innovations will stop now. Even Apple still has really smart people. No, I don't think anything is going to stop.
Yeah, innovation has stopped because one person in the world died.
All we're saying is that we had a man who was incredibly innovative, and it is a real hole that's been left in the industry. But there are a lot. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs did not build the iPhone. Steve Jobs did not build a Macintosh. Yeah. But it was his vision that brought the product to market.
And
you know
what we said before. It's about him getting very excited in front of
that's
people.
Right.
Talking in our language and giving us a reason to get excited about something that's just a really
Johnny nice Ives toy. Is brilliant. But let's face it. Johnny Ives designed what Jobs wanted. Jobs would come along and say, I picture this phone to do this, 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 and this. And Johnny Ives goes, I have an industrial design that will take care of that for you. And there are anecdotal evidence to say that Steve Jobs even picked out the food in the canteen at Apple. I mean, the man was, and somebody actually said, I think it was actually on the Mac Break Weekly, the very funny anecdote where they were saying that you can tell that there's a new CEO at Apple now because the breakfast that was laid out at the announcement was like bacon and sausages and stuff like that, whereas Steve Jobs was a vegan.
That's right.
It was only everything's like a croissant and a coffee. So now it's all like bacon and eggs. There's a new boss here. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be an Apple. We won't see any changes in Apple for at least 5 years because their plans are well set in motion.
Oh, yeah, they were probably planning for the iPhone 8 already.
Exactly. So we're not. It's question is what's going to happen in the next decade.
Yeah.
Where it's all going to be in the next decade is going to be what's really the interesting part. But look, we wait and see. And I say, Steve Jobs, you will be missed. I do want to just bring up very quickly, though, Gizmodo, who has had a very strained relationship with
Apple.
With Apple over the years. In fact, Steve Jobs hated Gizmodo.
Oh, yeah.
Gizmodo put out a really beautiful post about this, and I'm going to play the video that they actually produced as well, which I think is fabulous. But I just want you to read these words. I just want to read these words to you really quickly. It's a very long article saying all the things they liked about Steve Jobs. But this is the very, very beginning of their article. It says, Steve Jobs is dead. The Apple chairman and former CEO who made personal computers, smartphones, tablets, and digital animation mass market products passed away today. We're going to miss him deeply, deeply and personally. Stephen P. Jobs passed away today after a long struggle with pancreatic cancer. He was just 56 years old. We mourn his passing and wish his family the very best. Let's address this up front. Gizmodo and Steve Jobs had, at best, a tumultuous relationship. Yet no matter how much he may have hated us, we admired him. No, that's not quite right. We loved him.
Mm, exactly. You know?
And I think that is just such a beautiful statement from them to basically come out and say, we loved man. And they produced this video. And I just want you to have a quick look at this. For those who remember when Steve Jobs first came back to Apple in 97, 98, the Think Different campaign came out, which was where they used all the famous people's faces like Albert Einstein or what have you. And there's this narrator who talked about them being different and about them being visionaries. Gizmodo decided that they could write this big obituary or whatever, or they could just steal from Steve Jobs. And what they've done is they've taken the Think Different ad and they've just put new images to the Think Different ad. And I think this pretty much sums it up.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. The troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
Isn't that just beautiful?
Yeah, it really is.
You know, and you put those words to Steve Jobs, and for those who are listening to the audio, all they've done is replace it with all archive footage of Steve Jobs, but that's the original text from their ad. And you just go, boy, did he know he was talking about himself when he put this together?
Yeah. No, he wasn't. He was talking about innovation.
He was talking about innovation and genius, you know?
Exactly.
But I think it's really apt. So yeah. I'm getting a little choked up again. This is terrible.
Even I got a little tear in my eye.
I'm getting a little choked up again.
Stop it, you guys.
Okay, let's.
All right, moving right along.
Let's move on to something a little bit fun. More fun. Yeah, let's get on to something a little bit more fun because I think we can. Let's just say, veil to Steve Jobs, rest in peace. You will be missed, and we'll move on. Apple also, the day before the death, announced the iPhone 4S. Yes. Now, before we get started, the chat room is going to jump in, I'm sure, at some point and basically say, yeah, the stock plummeted.
Yeah.
Listen, Leo Laporte actually made a comment on his show and said, the internet lives in a vacuum. Mm. It lives in a bubble, and they never seem to remember one day from the next.
Yeah.
Every announcement from every company, not just Apple, but every company, their stock plummets on the day of announcement because people buy on rumor, sell on product launch, right? Yeah. Because product launch is never what rumor is. So they all buy on rumor. So, of course, over the months leading up to iPhone S, and they've had several because it's supposed to have been June and it's been held, they've been steadily selling tons of stock on rumor of what iPhone 5 would be. Mm-hmm. And then when iPhone 4S came out, they went, okay, now sell. Sell the stock, you know, and they make a lot of money. And what you have to wait for is a couple of weeks to see where the stock levels out at.
Mm.
And whether they take a hit or whether they don't, this happens every single Apple announcement. Everybody goes, see, stock fell. Product sucks. No, stock falls every time. It's like every time. So we'll wait and see. We need a couple of weeks for the stock to balance out. But considering that Apple currently has something like $65 billion in the bank, I think they can take a small stock drop. So
I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. All right, what did they announce? They announced, of course, that iCloud is going to be released next week. Mm-hmm. They announced, so we're finally going to get that. iOS 5 will be out next week. So these are both exciting. They actually finally outlined which phones and products iOS 5 is for.
And it's good to see that goes back to the 3GS as
well. Well, I'm still debating. I'm still skeptical whether the
3GS. I wouldn't upgrade.
I think it will work on the 3GS. I think it'll slow the 3GS down.
I would say if you own a 3GS and you're nearing the end of your contract, stay on 4 until you
get a new phone. Yeah, absolutely. But they did say that it would work on 4, which I had no doubts it would work on 4. iPad 1 and 2, these are both running the A4 and A5 processors, there's no reason. Yeah, it wouldn't run on those. And third and fourth generation iPod Touches. So once again, I think third generation iPod Touch might be pushing a friendship. I think it's the same as the 3GS.
So. Oh, yeah, no. 3G and 3GS are out, and so is...
Yeah, well, 3G is not even on the list. 3G's gone. I think they've written 3G off now. Yeah. So. Also, I thought it was very interesting, addressing the rumors that we did last week, we talked about having multiple phones. I thought it was very interesting that the 3GS is going to be free on contracts now. So Apple's basically just saying... take it, but they're keeping it on the market as a free phone. Yeah. iPhone 4 has plummeted in price, so iPhone 4 is going to drop to the 8. It's only going to come in 8 gig. It's only going to come in an 8 gig model, and it's going to be $99.
What's this for?
This iPhone 4. Oh, yeah. So it's just going to, that's their low cost phone.
And you know what? It's still a brilliant phone. So
yeah, absolutely.
If that's all you can afford.
Actually, I'm sorry. Let's hold off making that statement until we've seen how it runs on a iOS 5.
How iOS 5. Yeah.
No, because we all remember what it was like when the 3GS got iPhone 4.
Let's see. We'll hold that until next.
And we are talking about a dual core processor on the new.
That's right.
So exactly. With a gig of RAM.
Yeah.
A gig of RAM and a dual core.
No, but that's what scares me, man, because it's like that's a high lot of system specs that you can run
and
as device.
Not, in this situation, you sit there and go, Apple would say, yeah, our operating system will work on both things. But you know that the app developers are out there going, let's take advantage of that stuff. And that's where we run into problems, because they're going to look at that high-end specs and go, I want to do that. It's like, if you're going to play Back to the Future.
I don't even mind. The apps themselves, we'll see, right? We'll see how that handles.
Let's see how the core operating system
Exactly. The core operating system is what makes me worry, because I... saw the 3GS and I saw how it rang, and I saw how incredibly frustrating it was to use.
Although the experience is different for me, because my 3GS ran 4 quite well, and I actually had no problems with 4.
I had a 3G at the time.
Well, that's a different story.
And that, it bricked it, basically. Yeah. I wouldn't say completely bricked it.
The
but
internet
it was,
would actually just randomly stop.
It would.
At times.
Everything
and you couldn't
randomly
use the phone.
Yeah, I found the 3GS handled 4 okay. It was the 3G was dead in the water.
I've been on the iPhone 4 for about a year now, and I've got another year on my contract, so I'm going to be very cautious with iOS 5 next week.
Oh, I'll be putting it straight on, but I live on the bleeding edge, so I'll put it on.
I mean, you'll
next
have
week.
To, but I mean, I'm going to wait to see if it bricks your phone, and then and then I'll upgrade.
Yeah, if you find me frantically looking on the internet for ways to pirate my phone and roll back the install, you'll know that there's a problem. I haven't had a problem yet. The only problem that I saw really was
Josh won't have to worry at all.
No. We'll find out when Ice Cream Sandwich comes out whether it bricks your phone.
Well, dude, I'll be very surprised considering currently, even with the iPhone, essentially apart from the 1 gig of RAM, my phone is still one of the most powerful phones on the market. So
it's a nice phone.
Yeah.
The iPhone 4 or...
Exactly. Phone. That's what I'm saying. It's like this thing here is still one of the most powerful phones on the market.
The iPhone
4S
is going to give that a run for its money. The dual core A5.
Minus the dual core.
Yeah, but I'm saying dual core A5, the gig of RAM on top of that.
The gig of RAM is the only thing that it's got on mine.
It's gonna give it a run for a money. No, he's got a 1080p
camera.
Got a
1080p camera? Okay.
Yeah, he's got a 1080p.
I take that
but
back.
The optics are supposed to be better on the iPhone 4S.
It was on the iPhone 4, in my opinion, is still a better camera
than
the iPhone.
Let's talk about the camera for a minute. The iPhone 4S, they've put the they didn't state it, but we heard from Sony that it was gonna be the Sony sensor.
They said that it's 5 lenses in
it. They've added another lens, so it's got the 5 lenses.
The aperture's wider.
It's wider, it's got a backlit illuminated chip.
Yes.
So it acts better in low light. 2.4 on the aperture.
A lot more light being
a lot more light. 1080p video recording with image stabilization.
And let's face it, the 4 was pretty stable to start
with. This is, and what I love is it's image stable. It's hardware image stabilization. It's using the gyroscope to stabilize. So that's pretty awesome. The new lens with the 2.4 actually gives depth of field now. Mm. Some of the photos that you can look at on Apple, they claim are untouched.
They claim,
as somebody pointed out, yes, but they're probably still taken under optimum lighting conditions by a professional photographer, but we won't go into that. But they are beautiful.
But this is the point. They're still taken, even if they're taken by a professional photographer, they look amazing.
Amazing, and they've got depth of field. They've got that one shot which has got all the little drawers and fruit and everything else, which is a really complicated image.
I just checked. The Samsung's running a gig of RAM.
Oh, it is running.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it'll be very interesting to see where
they're playing catch up.
They're playing catch up. Well, the iPhone has been playing catch up.
And look, realistically, Apple doesn't usually push past everyone else. They usually push up and use the stuff better.
Well, yeah, they want to. Yeah, that's right. Use it better. That's exactly a great way of putting it.
I love this. We're going to get to Siri in a minute.
We're going to get to Siri. I've got some demonstrations of Siri, so we'll have a look at this. Siri is still a
Sorry, I just
all right, so our chat room Northy has written in quotes, Siri, email Ross down for beers tonight. And the Siri has responded with, emailing boss down in fire tonight.
Drowning down in fire tonight.
Drown in fire. All right, so Siri is not what we thought it was. No. We talked about it having voice recognition and Nuance basically supplying this. Apparently, Siri is a company that that Apple bought a couple of years ago, and everybody wondered what they were going to do with it. Well, now we have the answer. It is not in iOS 5. Mm. It is in iPhone 4S. So if you don't have an iPhone 4S, you're not getting it.
Yeah.
And it is a personal assistant. And the thing that's really impressive about this is that it keeps track of conversation.
Look, if it does what it says on the box, it's amazing.
Let's have a look at the demonstration. Yeah. All right, so this is Siri. This is from the keynote. Now, they got up and said, we're going to do a demonstration of this. And the I forget what the product manager is for iOS, but basically he said, okay, first of all, let me just say this. Siri is still technically in beta.
Mm.
We're releasing it on the phone, and there will be more features coming, but we are technically calling it beta. Now, Apple doesn't do that, so they're obviously really keen on this product to start with. He said, secondly, you don't do live demonstrations of beta software. That's just death. And he goes, but we're going to do it anyway. And they did a live demonstration of Siri. So this is the first part. This is the really simple one, and this is kind of like voice recognition. This is what we're used to, but... This is Siri in action.
Do I need a raincoat today?
It sure looks like rain today.
Do I need a raincoat today? All right, so that's...
And you saw as you came in, it was raining, so it understands the concept of raincoat and umbrella and other things, and it knows how that relates to weather and answers the question. So we've integrated in with weather. We've integrated in with all sorts of things on iOS. So let me go and ask it a question using the clock. Something like, what time is it in Paris?
The time in Paris, France, is 8:16 p.m.
So again, it recognized the words, understood the meaning, and then comes back with this live clock ticking down the seconds, showing what time it is in Paris. But you can ask other questions like, let's say you need to set an alarm clock. Just ask Siri.
I love this.
Wake me up tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Okay, I set it for 6 a.m.
It's that easy.
That's pretty badass.
Like that's the bit where I'm just like, all right, I like that.
All right, now it gets better. Yeah. So he said, okay, so that's the basic stuff. He goes, let's do a sequence of events. So this is now Siri in action, where he receives a text, gets the text read to him, has to make a decision, schedules a meeting, send a text back, and so forth. So it's a backwards and forwards with Siri. So here's Siri, the personal assistant, at work in a slightly more complex mode.
Now sometimes your phone is locked in your pocket, and you're in a hands-free environment, so you might have a Bluetooth headset on. And you receive a text message or an iMessage, and you hear it come in, but it's in your pocket, and you don't want to take it out of your pocket. So
that's me.
With Siri, you can just ask Siri to read it to you. So you can just press on that button on the Bluetooth headset. I'll simulate it by pressing the home button here, but this can all be done hands-free. And just ask Siri, read my message.
New message from Phil Schiller. When can we have lunch?
So it reads it hands-free to me.
You can reply or read it again.
So before I reply, I think I want to have lunch on Friday. Hands-free now, I can just ask Siri about my calendar. I can ask it, do I have any meetings Friday at noon?
You don't have anything on your calendar for this Friday at 12 p.m.
Fantastic. So let me go ahead and reply to Phil now that I can make it. Reply, I can do Friday.
Here's your reply to Phil Schiller. Ready to send it?
I can respond with my voice, or I can just tap on the button, so I'll go ahead and respond.
Okay, I'll send your message.
Now you noticed I said reply. I didn't say reply to Phil Schiller.
That's
Siri is following along the conversation just like a human does and knows when I said reply, I meant Phil. Now let me go ahead, again, all hands-free, and schedule that lunch. Just by talking to my phone. Schedule lunch on Friday at noon with Phil Schiller.
Okay, I set up your meeting with Phil Schiller for this Friday. Are you ready for me to schedule it?
Go ahead and confirm that.
Okay, I scheduled your meeting with Phil Schiller for this Friday.
He's pressing the home button there. Does that happen to happen?
No, what he's doing is he said you've got to tell Siri that you're making a command. Mm. And he said if you were doing it hands-free, you could push the little button on your Bluetooth headphone.
Right, right.
You could, if you were wearing the headset, you could actually use the button in the middle of the headset.
Right.
Whatever. As he said, he's simulating it by using the home button.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't, like with the confirms and stuff, he doesn't have to tap a button. He could just say confirm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it will confirm. He said, I can use my voice or push a button. You know? It's an amazing demonstration. It is Star Trek, dude.
It is. Yeah, and in fact, I think the official Star Trek website posted... on Jobs' death, they said, thanks, Steve, for making the 23rd century come a little earlier than we expected.
All right, now, do you want to know something really fun? We'll come back to the iPhone in just a moment, but I've got a little video I just want to show you really quickly. This is a video. Now, once again, this video is about 10 minutes long. I've just taken a bite out of it, and I just want you to watch it. We're going to leave the mics open so we can talk about this. This video came out 18 years ago. Okay, and this was a demonstration, a simulation by Apple that they created for television, basically a little bit of their vision of the future.
Mm.
Okay, I want you to have a look at this and tell me if you see some things that we might already have. All right, so this is the Knowledge Navigator.
Today you have a faculty lunch at 12 o'clock. You need to take Kathy to the airport by 2. You have a lecture at 4:15 on deforestation in the Amazon rainforest.
Right. Let me see the lecture notes from last semester. No, that's not enough. I need to review more recent literature. Pull up all the new articles I haven't read yet.
Journal articles only?
Fine.
Your friend Jill Gilbert has published an article about deforestation in the Amazon and its effects on rainfall in the sub-Sahara. It also covers drought's effect on food production in Africa and increasing imports of food.
Contact Jill.
I'm sorry, she's not available right now. I left a message that you had called.
Okay, so that's just a little bite. So if you watch the whole video, though, what he's got in front of him is a touch screen with the digital assistant talking to him. And at one point, he actually gets the call from the girl, which is a FaceTime call. Here's the really interesting part. The date that is actually set, Apple was only 18 days late.
Oh, wow.
Siri was announced 18 days after the date that is set.
I bet you we wanted to drop that on the day. I bet you they wanted to get it out 18 days early, and they were like, you know what? Even though it'll be awesome, let's just hold off till we're ready. Yeah. But even still,
it's a fun video to watch because it's like he's got his FaceTime pop up, and he touches the screen a few times and does a few swipes. Like at one point, he compares two maps. He's got two maps, and he actually does a swipe gesture.
Wow.
To swipe it over. And he's going to go, wow, you really did think about this a long time ago,
and I think that's probably the best legacy you can have for the man.
Well, funnily enough, okay, in this situation, we can't actually give this one to Steve Jobs because this was actually that video was done in the days, the dark days when he wasn't around. But it's the company itself had this vision. And remember, Steve Jobs had been pushing for touchscreens for a long time. No technology at the time, unfortunately. Let's not forget that Bill Gates was pushing for tablets. He could never make the tablet market take off.
And neither did Moses, for that matter.
No. Yeah. I will stand by the fact that Bill Gates could never make the tablet market take off because we didn't want a fucking stylus.
No, what was that?
And he was obsessed by it. Even after the iPad came out, they still released some tablets with styluses. We don't want the stylus, Microsoft. You know, we like the idea of an option that we could use a stylus if we want to.
Exactly. It's that concept that you can pick it up and draw with it, or you can pick it up and write with it. It's like,
and
you don't.
Callison says Surface is pretty cool. Surface is pretty cool, but Surface has never really got to market.
You don't want to know why? Because it's not a commercial entity. It's like high end.
And they're beaten to the punch because that company that makes the touch screens for like CNN and stuff, you know, those big screens that they use, that's not Surface. That's another company. So they've already been beaten to that big screen.
Which is such a shame, because after using it, it's like, I would love to see that work. Like, I would love to see that get out.
Yeah.
And I would love to see it, like, just playing it on their big screen.
Well, my son at his school, they have digital whiteboards now, which are awesome. Yeah. And they're literally whiteboards that have a projector project onto them.
This is what I need.
Yeah, you do. It projects the computer screen onto the whiteboard, but it's touch.
Yes. Mm. We had one of these demo at work for a while as well. I've also, and they were very, very cool. And I've also used those, I think it was a Microsoft produced thing, those tabletop touchscreen things.
Well, that's Surface. That's what they're talking about. That was Surface. That's the coffee table. Yeah.
Exactly, the coffee table. Yeah. I had a play with one of those at a conference I was at earlier this year. And very, very cool. But as Josh said, there's just no.
Yeah, and $10,000 a piece.
Yeah. Dude, it was amazing, like, sitting there, and there were four of us around the table at the time, and we were all kind of like resizing photos and stuff like that. And the moment that I'll never forget, because it was like, I just want that to start happening, was the moment where somebody was like, hey man, check this one out. It's a picture. It looks like a dog I used to have. And I'm like, all right, man, let me have a look. And he just flicked it. And it just flew across the screen, and I just grabbed it with my fingers. And I was like, the Surface, officially coolest idea ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Surface offered lots of stuff and just never. Mm. It's like a lot of the stuff in the Microsoft Concept House. Mm. They have a Microsoft Concept House, which has got all this high-tech stuff of the way of the future. And every one of these conferences, they drop this house in the middle of these conference centers and basically say, check it out. But it never comes to market.
Mm. Well, there's the thing. I mean, what we said before about Apple, I mean, they're all about getting the things into people's homes. No doubt they've got a Surface product in the works in the background somewhere, but it's not viable for commercial market.
Well, and there's been rumors circulating for the last year that Apple's going to produce a television.
Yeah.
That they will actually produce an Apple-branded television with the Apple TV built into it, and iCloud and everything else.
Well, around the time the iPad was first announced, someone sent me a joke email. It was like, you know, the year that the iPod was announced, and you know how big it was, and you know the next the iPhone, and then the iPad, and they said, you know, 2013, the iSlab.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like that joke in Peggy Sue Got Married, where she says everything gets smaller except for portable radios; they seem to get bigger. it's a great line. All right, so so Siri is. Definitely has a coolness factor.
Oh yeah,
and I think out of everything that was announced at the announcement, I think Siri was the showstopper. I mean, everybody kind of went, "What the hell is this thing?" And other than that, I think our rumors were pretty much spot on. I mean, the fact that the iPhone will have a 64 gig version now, we speculated on that. It's got the better camera. It was an iPhone 4S. It wasn't a 5.
Goddamn right.
And some people said, "Oh, it should be a 5." It's like, no. Look. Once again, history, people, every second model was the major number upgrade. Mm-hmm. They had the iPhone 3G, iPhone 3GS, iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, iPhone 5.
This isn't the revolution that the 4 was over the 3. This is the next logical step.
That's right. This is what 3GS was to 3G.
Mm,
you know?
Absolutely.
And what did the 3GS bring? It brought things like the gyroscope.
Exactly.
So it's like, it looks the same thing, but it's got a few little new tricks in it.
And it's the little things that I like about it. It's the... and it's partly software, partly the phone as well. But it's just having the camera available from the lock screen, or it's
absolutely
you know, the PC free stuff. It actually probably is the biggest thing for me. I was rattling off specs.
Oh, this is all the iOS 5 stuff. Yeah, the
iOS
5
stuff is great. I was rattling off specs of both these things to my girlfriend Susan this morning, and she was like, whatever. Mm. But when I said you don't actually have to have a PC anymore to connect this thing, she goes, okay, now I'm impressed.
Absolutely. And the other thing I thought was also very impressive, which is something I really, really like, is the fact what's it called? What's it when you throw your video from one item to another wirelessly? It's called AirPlay. They've now added AirPlay to iPhone, so the iPhone will be able to AirPlay. But more importantly, you know that Fire, you know the, what's it called? Screen...
Yeah,
mimicking where it can actually duplicate the screen.
Oh yeah,
that now works on iPhone, not just iPad 2, and that HDMI adapter that you can buy will now work on iPhone 4. Yeah, exactly. So they're bringing them into parity with each other. Yeah. So, and that's actually really, really good.
For me, it begins and ends with the camera, though. I mean, it's like if I can have the current. I mean, like, I love my iPhone 4, so if I can have that with an even better camera than the one it's got, it's a perfect phone. So
yeah, look, a better camera and a little bit faster every time, and I'm happy.
And it's exactly what it's going to do. Yeah. So I probably won't. That said, I'm probably not going to get the iPhone 4S.
Well, it's not. Look, it's not a game changer that you want to go break a contract for.
So I'm not exactly. I've got
my contract is up in June,
so it's
and
perfect for you.
In 2 months, 2 months prior to that, I'm allowed to upgrade.
Yeah.
So in April. I'll be able to go to the iPhone 4S.
I'll have to check my contract because mine's not up till November. So I'll have to wait all the way until at least September before I consider upgrading.
Mm. But if they keep this particular release schedule, it's going to be a year after that for the next phone. So you might want
to. I may as well. I mean, it's...
So I look, I think the
rumors will fly around later on in the year and you can make your decision then.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, I mean, I've been in the iPhone ecosystem since the 3G. So,
As have I, but yeah.
I'll definitely get the new phone. Okay, Gizmodo put up a very interesting article very quickly that basically said that this was Microsoft's chance to catch up now. Because this was such an underwhelming, you know, advance in technology, and all I can think is, yeah, good luck with that.
Exactly.
Look, if nothing else, if the only thing that can come out of any of this is that Windows Phone 7 has really not overwhelmed the market, I don't think that an iPhone 4S is going to make it any more overwhelming.
Look, the thing is, Apple's managed to maintain this massive, massive stronghold. I mean, Android is creeping up.
Android is the competitor, Windows iPhone, not Windows Phone 7.
Android's the competitor, but it's just the fact that with one handset, effectively.
Dorothy in our chat room says, "How do you catch up when the race is already won?"
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's one handset, and they've dominated for as long as it's been. It's not like there's been multiple. There have been multiple iPhones, but it's basically evolution of the phone.
You wait for an Apple announcement every year. Android, if you don't like the phone that's out in the morning, just wait till the afternoon. Something else will be announced.
I like that.
So, nice look, and yeah, Callison says WinPhone 7 is pretty cool. Absolutely. Look, I have no doubt, and I've played with it in the shop, and the interface is really smooth, and I actually quite like WinPhone 7. It's just, it's the also-ran at this point. It's too late, you know? Yeah. And forget iPhone. It's not going to catch up to Android.
Yeah, in the PC world, it's a Mac PC war. In the mobile world,
it's Android, iOS. Absolutely. Yeah.
There's no third player.
And if you really want to put it down to you, could say WinPhone 7 basically is the BOS the iOS 2 Warp or whatever it was called. All those also ran operating systems throughout the... Oh, you could actually say WinPhone 7 at this point, and here's an irony for you. It could be Linux.
Yeah. No, I think you're on the money there.
There's an irony for you. Okay. Josh.
Yes.
Finish us off with a little bit of... You've been playing Rage.
I have been playing Rage.
Tell me about this.
Well, look, the reason that we wanted to bring it up, the reason that we wanted to cover it is because, obviously, we have a lot of tech and game geeks around that enjoy our shows. And there is a huge amount of debate about this game because it's out now, and ID Software, I mean, like, we know them, we know that they are, well, we would like to think they're innovators, we've seen them around, they've done, you know, Quake, these guys are the guys that, you know, made...
They're the man, come on!
Well, they were the man, I should say.
They
made the word deathmatch. Yeah. That was them, and they forgot to...
They created the first-person shooter.
They forgot to copyright it, and, you know, sucks to be them, because now everyone uses it, but essentially, you know, it's out there, and it's done, and these guys have come out and tried to create something very different, go in a completely different direction for them, create this new amazing engine, and release a game which is mainly first-person and only has a little bit of co-op. Now, that's lost them a lot of fans because everybody wanted to play multiplayer. I mean, that was essentially what we were all about.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And, I mean, essentially now you've got this game that looks very pretty. We're watching the trailer now if you're watching this live, and it's like, you know, it's a fucking beautiful-looking game. And, you know, it's a cool concept. I mean, essentially, you know, it's a first-person shooter with some RPG elements. And, yeah, I got a chance to play this. I got this on PC, and it looks like shit because you can't change any of the graphics options. And essentially, if you've read anywhere at all, you'll see a lot of push towards the fact that there is a huge amount of technical issues with this engine.
Right.
And my friend, Nathan, who's been on the show before, has a computer more powerful than God, quite literally. Like, this thing is just overclocked and water cooled and everything you can possibly imagine, and it still has the same issuing that does.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Which is essentially when you move the camera around, the textures will load in front of you. Now, this is both very distracting if you're trying to shoot at someone, and also just terrifying if you are, you know, trying to get into a game. As for a game itself, I've had a play with the console version and the PC version. If you have it on consoles, it may actually be worth the time. It's like it's not.
Doesn't
the
have the same loading issues.
No, none of the same loading issues. No one's complaining about it. It almost looks like the PC was a port. And
oh, that's not good.
Yeah, definitely not making them fans in their original industry. But again, who plays PC? What, like four people?
Well, Freak actually says if you can't play a game on a hardcore gaming system, that's not cool.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I agree. I'm not giving them any respect for what they've done. And essentially, they've pushed reviews from this to the last minute so that people can't drop it out before the game comes out. Sneaky, dirty tactic, I have to say. But apart from that, dude, I'm just kidding. Chat room's going mental about my PC comment. I still play PC as well.
We all do.
We're just making a lol at the fact that.
Well, except for Richard, who's
And look, I mean, WoW is still a huge game, and online MMORPGs are still rampant, and StarCraft is still one of the biggest games. I'm just kidding, guys. But essentially, we are in the minority if you look at. Like what people would rather favor, and even I'm getting to that stage because I've got to download extra graphics drivers, and those graphics drivers are betas, so they're not necessarily going to run as well.
I favor console games now. I never thought I would say this, but I favor console games now because I can sit back on my couch and play it on a huge TV, and I can pump it through the 5.1 if I want to.
And there are certain games that'll always work on PC, and this is why I actually opted for the PC option, because I was like, this is the kind of game. This is like strategic. Like as far as history goes, this is where this game started for me, essentially this is where I should be going. So I loaded it up and I've given it a try, and look, it's not a bad shooter. It's kind of fun. It's got that great ID sense of humor. There is a lot of hidden rooms to find, and in the first area that you go to for your first mission, if you wander around that area and check the walls, there is actually a Wolfenstein reference that you can find, and it's brilliant. I showed the boys this morning, and it's very cute, very quick, and very, 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 homage pain, as it should be. And like you play through the game, and some of the missions are a little shit. And to be honest, I don't like the progression because essentially there are missions where you have to go get a weapon, and like you start getting very bored of using the same weapons over and over again. And you get different ammo types, which kind of breaks it up. But essentially, you've got to make these ammos, so you've got to find the bits for it. And it's like it's just a little bit too old school. That's the problem. It's like, if you're going to make it old school, go full old school and just make it balls to the wall action and take out the RPG stuff and just give it.
I'd be curious to play it.
I am going to give you an update in a week or
two. I want to hear an update.
A quick update, just
and
saying
I would
whether
really like to know if you get a console version, bring it over. We'll try it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bring
absolutely.
It over.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. I think it would be one to have a look at. The co-op, the multiplayer doesn't bother me so much, as everybody knows. No, I prefer single player anyway.
I'm in the same boat, and I'm a console person anyway.
Yeah, so that doesn't bother me, and if the graphics are loading fast, I love id Games. I mean, let's face it, these guys are like the Steve Jobs of games.
And I think for me, id Games turned me from a kind of a casual game, but let's try this whole thing out. This is something I can spend time on. And I've been playing games for a long time.
And all first-person shooters are compared to their games.
And it's none of the bullshit. Like, that's the thing that I'm loving. And man, that's why I'm finding it so hard to go back to PC unless it's a Steam game. Because essentially, I don't want to download drivers. I don't want to find updates.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to sit there for 6 hours before the game launch. I want one update that might be 12 megs that'll take 2 seconds to download. And then bam, I'm in the game, and that's it.
And I think that's exactly what turned me off playing games on a PC for years.
That's the exact reason I'm struggling so much to play games on PC now, because I just don't care about everything in between. It's like, essentially, if you can't give me a game that's ready on day one, then piss off. Like, seriously, that's serious about that.
Cool. All right, I'm glad we got that. I want to hear more about that in the couple of weeks. Speaking of games, though, one of our readers sent us an email that said, this is Tristan, by the way, who also notified me about Steve Jobs. He said, "Hey guys, just saw this really cool ad that Sony made. It features all of the lead characters from their big games. I thought it was a fantastic ad. Just thought I'd share it with you guys. And the link we have is actually for the full version, but it's actually a little bit long. So I've abridged this down to the most important part. Okay? So this is the most important part, but check out this ad and tell me if this isn't the coolest thing you've seen in a while.
Flying over the middle of the Rubicali Desert, looking for some lost city in the sand. Next thing I know, plane's going down. I'm hanging like a rag doll at 30,000 feet, just trying to hold on.
And a plague on every corner. When half the city hated me, and the other half wanted me dead. He brought out my good side.
Telling you war has changed. So you do what you have to. I'm no hero. But whatever good I've done, it was him.
It was in the days of suffering when the gods made their might known.
Yeah!
When no mortal dared stand up to Zeus. He did.
Omaha! Pinned down on that godforsaken beach. Thinking if I lay there, I'll maybe die. But if I get up, there ain't no maybe about it. And one man broke through. Michael!
Michael.
When the Templars murdered my family. When the whole bloody world's gone crazy.
Hellcat, Sector 9,
to Michael!
Michael!
For all he does. For all of us. To Michael.
Respect.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Come on. That is an awesome ad. That is probably the best thing Sony's produced in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Tristan, thank you so much for sending that over. We also have, we're going to finish the show up in a second. We normally do a weird geek food section, but you know what? Nothing could beat this, because this comes from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
And I have to just share this with you. Matt Snake Oz, AR Drone, our good friend, sent us an email that said, "Dave, it seems my birthday cake was better than the weird geek food pick last week," which was the Wampa arm.
That's
you
right.
remember?
Yeah.
And so he sent us a picture of his birthday cake, which is a Death Star.
Oh nice.
So, Matt, dude, respect.
That's just cool. Wow. Just be so proud of that, dude. Just be so proud of that.
So that is a
we had cakes like that back home, and they were no bigger than a meter.
So thank you very much for sending that in to us, Matt. That is fantastic. Now I'm just going to check this really quickly because this email kind of actually applies to both shows. I'll just make sure if there's anything here. This is from our good friend Zed. Most of it is film actually, so we'll save it for film actually. That's okay. And those are film actually. Good. All right. So that's the email for today. I think that's it. I just want to share with you one little thing. I didn't actually bring a picture in it because I didn't know if we'd make it to it. I'm just going to show the boys here. The link is in the show notes so you can check it out. This was a great little, hello. Oh, that's all right. Windows. What can I tell you? First time I've been using Windows in a while.
Here it comes.
So I'm back on my little netbook. So it's taking me a little bit of getting used to. This is a company that is producing.
Nice.
They've got Nintendo Entertainment System cartridges, and they put your favorite games onto the label in retro mode. And so you can get like BioShock, Halo, and stuff like that on these old cartridges in 16-bit format. They are wonderful. They're just collector's items. They don't play games. They're not actual games or anything. They're just for fun. And they are just wild.
That's so cool.
So have a check out that in the show note links. I saw that and I went, boy, Delta sent that through. And I said, that is just so Josh.
I want the Katamari one.
All right. So if you've got feedback that you want to send us, send it to feedback@geekactually.com. We will always accept feedback from everybody. We love comments, suggestions, anything, basically.
Even abuse.
And if you've got great birthday cakes, send them in.
Yeah.
And yes, abuse. I like abuse. Abuse is fun. All right, so we've thanked Christian. We thank Snake Oz. We want to thank Delta for bringing forth all of our stories for the day. He brought a lot of the links for the tribute to Steve Jobs and stuff, right. So thank you very much for that. Josh, where can people find more about you on the internet?
RoyDLC.com is a gaming website. I almost just said a website, and I was like, well, of course it's a website. But anyway, it's a gaming website. Go over and check that out.
I thought it was actually a store. You could go into.
Well, we're not selling stuff, but if you want to give us money, you know, whatever. The other thing to do is look up on Google RoyDLC YouTube channel. We've just redesigned it and stuck all the Studio 33 stuff at the front so people can find us, because people have been complaining to me that they can't find old episodes, and that makes sense because they were usually drowned out by all the video we're always putting up on there. So essentially you guys can go over and check that out. Well, cool. And apart from that, keep an eye out for me. I'm all over websites everywhere writing at the moment.
Cool.
And some cool new ones coming up.
Really?
Yes.
Cool. Richard, where can people find more of you?
As usual, they can find me at therealbits.com. Also a website. Mine's a film website. That's relbits.com. And just on Twitter at DVDBits constantly.
constantly. You are actually
I'm prolific Twitter. Twitter.
And if you want to find out more about me, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook and everything else. All you have to do is go to geekactually.com and there is a link that says follow us and you'll find all the stuff there. So it's the easiest way to find us. We can also buy merchandise and all sorts of other wonderful stuff like this wonderful t-shirt right here. See? Mm. All right. So you can do all that just by going to geekactually.com. That's where we have everything. And if you want to watch the video show, but you couldn't make it live, remember we always post up the replay videos on the site as well. So just search for replay and you'll find all the past video shows. I think that's it. I think that's a show. I don't have any more that we're going to push out here on this one. So I think we're gonna put a bow on this one and consider it done. And remember to join us for film, actually, for the live people in about 10 minutes and for the audio listeners on Monday. We will borrow from Delta Knight one more time and say geek on, everyone, and we'll see you all next week. Hopefully with happier news next week.
Mm.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
If you only listen to Geek Actually, then you're only hearing half the story. You need to shoot over to geekactually.com or iTunes and subscribe to Film Actually, the official movie podcast at geekactually.com. Same crew, same fun, but we talk nothing but movies, and it's a lot of fun. Come over and join us every week. You can also watch it live on our feed, geekactually.com/live, every Saturday afternoon. See you there.